The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. It is Steve here from Frags to Riches, and this is episode 90 of the Sand Geeks podcast. This episode is a little bit different to usual. You'll find out a bit more about that in a minute. Before I get into it, though, and before I bring in my co-host, I do need to tell you about our sponsor. They are, as most of you know by now, Kajal Perfumes. You can go to their website. They've got a great range of really enjoyable fragrances, and you can use the code GEEKS10 to get 10% off their website. So go and do that and check them out, and stay tuned, because even though it's a little bit different, we'll probably mention the giveaway at the end as well, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, I'm not alone, as you know. I am joined by the man from the YouTube channel Fragmental. His name is Chris. Chris, how are you doing, mate? You all right?
All right, Steve. Yeah, I'm good. Hello, geeks. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in once again. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Not too bad. I say that, I've sort of had a bit of a coldy thing this week. I've done numerous fucking lateral flow tests, etc., but it's always negative. So I think I've got that cold thing that's going around. Excuse me if I'm a bit coughy today, but I'm just getting at the tail end of it now. I saw a post on Instagram the other day. It's like, we managed to survive like a 18 months of a global pandemic, and now this sort of cold is sort of destroying the country. It's like loads of people are off work. But what about you? How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, decent week, busy as usual. I've been doing a few LFTs, actually, just because it seems like, I don't know if you guys are experiencing this, but the old COVID thing is sort of spreading through the schools now, because people are pretty much back to normal and the kids are a little petri dishes, aren't they? And so we're just LFTing all the time, just to make sure that, you know, when we're meeting up with people, that we're sort of clear, and just for our own peace of mind as well. That's been a bit weird. It's I did a PCR as well, because you can get them sent to your home now. And the LFTs, I just do the nose bit, but the PCR, I did the mouth, the throat bit as well, and I just had my breakfast, and I nearly brought my breakfast back up. I gagged big time. Don't know if you've done that when you've been shoving it down your throat or not.
Did you know you're supposed to wait like 30 minutes after eating and drinking before you take the test? So I don't know if you did that.
No, I didn't know that.
Let's see if our guest knew that, because we've got a guest today, haven't we?
Have we?
Before we talk too much, we better bring him in. Otherwise, he's sitting there twiddling his fucking thumbs. So we are joined by a YouTube, but more of an Instagram sensation, I would say, as he currently has 18,000 followers on Instagram. His name is Tony, and his Instagram channel or page is Fragdicted. Tony, hello. Are you there? Tell me you are, please.
I'm here. Hello, Steve. Hello, Chris.
Yay, Tony. Yes. You say Instagram sensation, Steve, but I just think Tony's an all-round sensation, just generally as a guy.
Such a charmer.
He is a bit of a dish, isn't he, as well, to be honest?
He is, yeah. Well, we've got to say this, because we're meeting up with him next week, so, you know, we've got to be on good terms, haven't we?
Stop it, you two. Stop it. Behave yourselves. You're making me blush.
How the hell are you, mate? Anyway, so tell us about your week, and then for the people that don't sort of know you, we'll find out. We're gonna sort of interview you a little bit, if that's all right. So we're gonna find out kind of what you're doing in Fragcom, how you got here, how you became so successful, and we'll find out a bit more about you. But just generally, how are you, and how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a good week. There's been a lot going on in my life. I will announce it to you guys on the podcast, but I have just got a new job.
Wow. Congratulations. Can you say what it is?
Yeah, it's all out. My notices period is in. I finish this Friday, and the job I have successfully acquired after 18 years for working for Kia, which I don't mind saying, other car brands are available, by the way, is I'm working for Massey Ferguson as an area sales manager. I will be in your area, Steve, travelling all around the different farms, trying to sell tractors and farm machinery and combine harvesters and stuff.
I need to find out, because my wife's, hold on, I don't like the relation, so it's my wife's cousin, I think it is, But he worked, I swear it was them he worked for, but he did a similar sort of thing, and he's quite sort of high up. He ends up, like, he sort of travels quite a lot. So I don't know if it was them or it was another tractor manufacturer. I'll find out. So I'll message you after, but I'll find out where he works, because he was sort of quite high up. He'd been there quite a long time. So he does something really similar. So that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, congratulations, Tony. Thank I'm thrilled for you. You sound really enthused about that, so I'm glad that you're... It sounds like you're excited about going into a new job, so that's great.
Yeah, it's huge for me. The big thing is some family time back. I'm not going to be working weekends for the first time in my working career, so that's huge for me. A Friday will feel like
win.
A Friday. Yeah, it is a big win.
Yes, and that'll be... probably more similar to the sort of sales that I do, because you're going to be sort of travelling around a little bit, I guess, and visiting sort of customers and potential customers sort of thing, rather than obviously them coming to you in the showroom sort of thing. Is that kind of more what it's like?
It's exactly what it's going to be like. Yeah, it's covering an area no more than sort of 50 miles north, south, east and west, which, as you know, is very farming area.
Yes.
It's
yes.
where we live. And it's going to be working from home, essentially.
Awesome.
But,
oh, great.
But then, going out on the road a bit and visiting different people. So, yeah, it's much more like what you're doing than what I'm doing, if you like. So,
oh, that's cool. I'm really chuffed with it. I sort of love my job. Getting kind of out and about and sort of working from home is really cool. And that'd be nice, because we could potentially meet up and have some lunch somewhere when we're both out and about. So that'd be cool.
Is that what people on the road do, Steve? Because another area sales manager doing a completely different job said exactly the same thing. And I'm wondering if you do any work, or do you just meet people for coffee all day?
It's if you can log that meeting in the CRM system, that counts. It's just like, yeah. No, it's just one big jolly, really. It's what we do. But for those that don't know, Tony actually lives quite close to me, so we're basically literally in the same geographical area. So in the Broads, where we are, there's a lot of farmland, so I can see you're going to be quite busy.
Yes.
That's exciting, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I suppose we should sort of start talking about fragrances, really. I don't know how you two feel about that.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, shall we bring it round to Tony and fragrance ask Tony, Tony, for those that don't know, Tony has a YouTube channel called Fragdicted, and his Instagram page is the same name. You're on about 2,500 subscribers on your YouTube channel. I think, is that about right, Tony?
Yeah, it's about right, just under that, yep.
Yeah, which is not to be sniffed at. I remember when I was starting YouTube, I was watching a few videos about, how you start and how you grow, and I remember reading something that said most people who start a YouTube channel don't make it to 1,000 subscribers before they quit, because they realize the work that's involved, they realize how consistent you need to be, and they realize how patient you need to be. So you've blasted through that, and you've got to the number you're on. So why did you want to start the YouTube channel to begin with? Obviously, you were into fragrances, as we all were before we started YouTube. But what made you think, I want to start talking about them on camera?
Because Instagram came first for you, wasn't it, Tony? Is that right? Tell us how you got into Fragcorn. That's maybe...
Let's start... So, actually, it was watching YouTube that got me into Fragcorn to start with. And that was because... Chris, I came across one of your videos, and it opened up a load more videos. I then subscribed to your channel, and then other things start falling into your feed. So I got... I don't know if you remember Bilal from Sentimental. He was someone I enjoyed watching. I think it was because the perfume parlor videos came up. And I think, as you guys know, I started with sort of looking out for dupes, as I would call them at the time, and inspirations or clones. So that's how the channel... That's not how the channel started. That's how my journey began, because I was looking up a fragrance, a high street fragrance. It smelt very familiar to me. And I would search on Google, and then a YouTube video came up with high street fragrances, and up pop your beautiful face, Chris, and and then watch that, and the rest is history from there, really. I started buying more and more. My wife wondered what was going on. I got to probably about 30 bottles, I would say, and then I thought, I started following. I was on Instagram as my main social for my own personal page. And that's a private page, which I didn't really take. I just like looking through people's feeds because I'm nosy, and started following the people I was subscribed to on YouTube, and then realised there was a bit of a community there, and basically decided to start my own page from there. So that's how Fredicted began. It was through really Instagram, and that was July 2019, so over 2 years ago now.
It feels like longer, to be honest. It feels like longer to me.
It's interesting that you talk about community. You keep mentioning community, and that's what drew you into it. And I think you've probably been one of the biggest people in bringing the UK reviewer community together. There was sort of a broader community of a few people in England, a few people in America, and like everyone was like, you know, new reviewers. But I think there's a sort of a closer knit UK reviewer circle now, and I feel like that came about largely because of the live streams that you were doing for quite a while. So, great that you did that, Tony. Did you feel that you were sort of bringing the community together a little bit more when you started those streams on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I think before it felt to me that the UK reviewer group, no one really knew each other too well, and there wasn't really a UK community, and it wasn't something I started, but it's something I noticed, that I felt that the people that I'm watching all the time and the people that are doing videos in and around me, so Barry started very close to the time I did, and Kevin from Merseyscent started, so you start talking, and then Jon Snow was a big supporter of my channel as well. And
yeah,
he
scented snowdrops on Instagram, exactly. And Barry is Sensualize on YouTube. Yeah.
That's right, and we started at the same time, on Instagram, on YouTube as well, and at that time we would speak quite often. I started speaking to Steve and Nigel, and I think you were one of the last ones, Chris. I think it's as you're coming up through the sort of, you're doing more and more videos and you start getting noticed by different people. And yeah. I felt that there wasn't really a cohesive sort of community of UK reviewers. And I jumped on that a little bit because I felt that the live streams that people were doing, not just me at the time, but other people as well, it was a place for people to get together. It was a place for people to talk. And I started that one Sunday afternoon from my home during COVID. And that wasn't one where I did the mystery lives. That was where I essentially just went live and noticed about probably 10, 15 people from the UK reviewing community. So it actually started with, I can't take the main credit. Our little group of people we now speak to actually started through Nick from Talk and Review. He started a little group chat, and I and other people felt that it was only right that we got other people involved in that, and the bigger channels like yourself as well. And I think it's worked quite well. We now talk a bit, I would say, and we're a bit closer for it, I would say as well.
I think so, yeah. That's sort of the enduring thing for me about my fragrance journey and YouTube journey at the moment is I'm sort of... I think a lot of us now that have been doing it for a few years are getting to the point where we're complaining about lack of original content, it's all list, we're seeing the same things come round and round again. And you, in terms of making the content as well, you sort of... You know, whenever a top 10 video comes around, I do them, and once I'm filming them and I'm editing them, I am enjoying it. But the prospect of thinking, right, I've got to talk about 10 fragrances in front of the camera now, and that's a lot. So there are times when you sort of think, well, do I really want to do this video today? Do I want to make this video today? But the thing that I've not grown tired of, and the thing that I've always loved is the people. I've always said that for me it's the people before the perfume, and I love the fact that we can all have a chat and we can all say, should we go to London and meet up and have some food and do some sniffing? And you know, for me that is one of the most important things about the fragrance community. I would say that's just like I try and make a living off YouTube as much as I can, and I would say obviously that's important because that's how I help to support my family. But for me, it's the people like you guys that are just as important as the monetary aspect of YouTube as well. So yeah, anyway, thanks Tony for being the glue that has helped bind a few of us together.
Can I ask, also echo Chris there, so thank you, because you have basically done a lot to kind of bring the community together, particularly in the UK. Just kind of going back a step, also this is probably for the sort of non-YouTubers and non-Instagrammers out there, sort of as we sometimes call them, muggles, but they're not because they're fragheads. Tell us about when this hobby started, because obviously you're quite lucky, unlike Chris and I, your other half is sort of quite... Well, our wives are supportive, but I'd say she's more active and she gets involved and she supports you and she kind of has her own thing. But so tell us about how... did you have a conversation with her that you were going to do this? Did you just start and then she found out about it? And then did you kind of get her to do it? Did she start enjoying it as well? How did the... sort of from the hobby side, did you sort of get Bex involved and what was her reaction to it all?
Well, firstly, I think we've had a running joke about this, Chris. Me coming out. That was about 3 months into my fragrance journey on the Instagram, and she noticed loads of fragrances turning up, and she's like, "What is going on? Like, you don't need any more fragrances. Like, just stop now, please." And then I had to come clean and say, "Look, I've started. I don't know how to talk to you about this, but I've started an Instagram page," and she just looked at me like I was an alien. You know, that look of disappointment.
I had the same look, from my wife,
Her libido physically, like, dropped in front of you. Her legs got closer together.
Tony, it was just like, I can never make love to you again.
Yeah, it's just like, oh.
Exactly, like the sex appeal just went to minus zero. Never had any. It was only about 5 anyway, but it dropped definitely into a minus figure.
And she started wearing really comfy pyjamas in bed.
There's no cool points to be won by coming out as a fragrance enthusiast and reviewer, is there, really?
There isn't, no. It started with that. And she was very good. She sort of let me off the new fragrances turning up. That was fine. And then what happened was that I started doing these lives. And my first live, I would say, was around the time of when sort of COVID really took off. That was about the March time. I did a live, and Bex was basically, I asked her to be in the chat to concentrate on what people were saying and to basically interact as me. So we logged in as predicted. She did the chat and I was on camera. And basically all she did was take the piss out of me in the chat, which was... And she then... We did that for a few weeks, and then she then got used to the people that were in the chat, which were the other
regular
UK reviewers.
Commenters,
yeah,
and
exactly,
stuff, yeah.
Exactly that. And it got to a point where I then would, she'd be next to me, literally physically next to me while I'm doing the live. And she sort of joked that she's going to have to come on. And she did. Massive credit to her, because it's outside of her comfort zone, that's for sure. But I think that she is a natural on camera. She's warm, she's friendly, but at the same time, she's fun. She will take the mick out of me, won't she? She'd be the first person to rip me a new one, and that's why I can't do we're going to it another time, but another fragrance review is doing at the moment. What I would say is that she's been, since then, hugely, hugely supportive. And during COVID, she needed something to do as well, and something to keep her mind occupied. Yeah. And then she started... I started giving her boxing lessons, actually, and for payment for boxing lessons, because an hour of boxing, an hour of pads isn't cheap, by the way. So I thought, well, rather than charge her £30 an hour... How can I get... I'm a salesman, leave me alone.
Ever the businessman, Tony.
Exactly. How can I get some payment back? And she is a very keen photographer and started taking my pictures. So for one photo, she got one boxing session. So that's how it started. And then within about 5 posts, she had started her own page rather than doing them for me. So I was then not getting paid anymore. It started from that. So she was sort of involved in the community for... a little while. She has stepped back now a lot. I think since COVID ended, she's had to work full-time, being a full-time mum, full-time worker, something had to give. And she wasn't enjoying it as much because she had other responsibilities. So
she didn't have the time.
Exactly. Yeah. She's still very supportive of what I do, will still be the first one to take the piss out of me. But she's had to take a little bit of a step back now, which we're both happy with.
And you two did, you had a great rapport on camera. It was, you know, it was funny. It was a lovely thing to tune into on a Sunday afternoon. And also what was interesting, I'm not sure if Bex thinks the same or you do about this, but I remember on some of the first ones that you were on and you were testing fragrances and, you know, like most of our other halves that aren't into fragrances, she found most of them quite repulsive, didn't she? She wasn't, you know, that enamoured with a lot of these, certainly some of the heavier, slightly more challenging fragrances that obviously, you know, the fragheads are quite into. But I think over the time she was doing the live streams with you and she got a bit more into the hobby and she started smelling a bit more and she'd go out sniffing with you a little bit. I think her nose sort of tuned into fragrances and the complexities of some fragrances a bit more. Do you think that's the case?
Oh, 100%. You know what? It was lovely to see her taste develop and change. Mm. When we first started, she would literally hate and detest anything Tom Ford. And that was because she associated very, very strong fragrances like Tuscan leather, tobacco vanille and things like that. She really didn't like them. She thought they were obnoxious, were loud, were heavy, and would give her a bit of a headache. And she just did not like that heavier type of fragrance. So it was really, really sort of put a smile on my face seeing her nose develop, especially when I've tested her with something that she didn't like, and then going back later I get her to smell something blind, she goes, "Oh, that's nice." I sort of smirk knowing that she really didn't like that test to start with. And
I like that.
She's got a fantastic collection, by the way, and the reason she's got a fantastic collection, because if I've ever bought anything or had anything arrive in the post, She will text me if I'm at work and she will say, "Can I open this?" So she'll open my fragrance box of Christmas presents that maybe have arrived, and then she'll sniff them all and go, "Right, this one's mine," and she'll just keep it. So it's I don't really get a choice. So she's got a collection, I would say, of about 30, 40 fragrances now, and all really lovely stuff as well. So she's got she seems to have the niche collection, and I she's basically nicking all my good ones.
Well, okay. Thanks to lockdown, she sort of had a little glimpse into your hobby and understands why you enjoy it so much. So even though she's stepped back a little bit now, she appreciates it and leaves you alone, I suppose, hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah, she does. And she doesn't really... I think if it was still a hobby and I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I think... I wanted to talk to you about this, Steve. We've had conversations about this where... And I've heard you say it many a time where you... feel that you may be taking something away from your family or you feel a bit of guilt with spending, because fragrance hobby, it's not a cheap hobby, and you feel like you're almost taking something away from your family and you feel a bit guilty for spending the money on yourself. So I've always been very mindful of that. I'm very respectful of our budgeting and very respectful of paying the bills, and this is really a sort of a secondary thing, and I've always genuinely kept it that way. And I think because I have kept it in check, I don't often really treat myself. She doesn't mind when I do, so we've got that sort of mutual respect for the hobby, if that makes sense. So that's quite healthy, I think.
No, it's very well said. I think you do need that balance, because as with anything, that can develop into an obsession, which can develop into an addiction, which can ruin relationships. So I think it's really healthy to keep it into check. We've sort of discussed this. Before we kind of move on from Bex, I guess we sort of have to ask, like, what is her favourite fragrance on you? What is her favourite fragrance on her? And what is your favourite fragrance on her? So there's three quick questions at you there. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, I think her favourite fragrance on me is Issey Miyake, Loda Issey.
Just scent memories.
Yeah, and I think everyone, not everyone may be listening, but you guys definitely know the reasons behind that. First date, marriage, that sort of thing, anniversaries. That's my go-to fragrance. That is She, that's what she really associates with me. So that's her favourite fragrance on me. That has developed a little bit. She really does. It's been vetoed from the fragrance from this podcast. So I don't think I can say it, but I will say it. The Chronic is sort of really developed into something that she's really loved on me and associates with me a bit more now. And you know what, Chris, that lovely bottle I bought from Lux Parfum has ended up on her shelf because, and she wears it often as well now, and I absolutely adore it on her as well.
Great. But my sad story about the Chronic. My friend was saying, oh Chris, my Prada Extreme is discontinued, can you recommend anything else? I said, oh well, I'll use my code and get something off my off the website. And I said, look, I recommended the Chronic because everyone I've ever met loves it. Like, my dad loves it. You guys love it. People say it gets them compliments. I mean, what's not to love about it, right? So I sent him a bottle of the Chronic, and he got back in touch with me and said, Chris, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. It's just, like, way too sweet for me. But he is just coming from your sort of bog-standard designer fragrances, so I think it was a bit too much for him, unfortunately. But there you go. Sad story about the Chronic.
It is, yeah. The other fragrance I love on her, before we finish on that, is I associate her with Alien, because that's what she used to wear when we first met. And the other fragrance I'm really, really enjoying on her, and that was our scent of the day today, was Prada L'Homme Intense, which is, I think that really, really works on a female. It smelled great on her today, so that is that is another favourite of mine on her, which is strange.
Good top tip there, I think. Yeah, that's a good top tip.
Yeah, I can really see that sort of irisy profile working on females, definitely, yeah.
Great fragrance there.
Right, shall we sort of move on away from Bex, but a big shout out to her, or Rex, as she got called on one of your lives, which I did make that nickname stick for a little while, but much to my amusement. I tell you what, I want to, I don't know how we're doing for time, I'm just going to do a quick time check. We're probably getting on for a bit. So I wanted to come up with, well, actually, before I get into that, there's a question from the public. So this is coming off straight out of our arse, our audience recognition section. I did do a little quick shout out. It's a bit short notice, but I did ask if anybody had any questions. I didn't say who it was, but I said we've got a successful Instagrammer coming on. I was sort of focusing more on that because the people know us from YouTube. And I asked people to drop the questions. And Johnny Jordan said he had a couple of questions with regards, because he's got an Instagram account. So he said, how often should one post while trying to gain a steady following? Is there such a thing as overposting? And should you use hashtags?
So that's from Johnny, is it?
Yeah, from Johnny. So from your experience, we can break it down if to test your memory. But yeah, how often should you post to get a steady following? I mean, most people do daily. Is that what you do? Or
yeah, I've posted every single day since I started, apart from 1 week, and I really, really noticed the everything just dropped through the floor just through 1 week. So I am very anal about posting every day, and I don't see it as a pressure because it's something I enjoy. I plan my posts, I take a few photos at once, and I usually edit in the evening before I post. So my daily post is ready for the next day, if that makes sense. So it doesn't really feel like it's a chore. It's something I enjoy. That's the bit I enjoy. And you know what, out of all the videos and everything, that's why I've probably concentrated on Instagram more, because it's less time consuming, and I've really get into grips with how I like a photo to look, and how to edit it and stuff. So that's what I get a lot. So daily, I would say, is the answer to that.
Tony, just on that point, sorry Steve, when you say you edit your photograph, what I used to be able to do on Instagram, and I don't know if an update has changed this at all, I used to be able to do the post, write the post and everything, and then just save it as a draft, and then post it whenever I felt like it the next day. Now, that feature disappeared, so you couldn't do drafts anymore. Is it back, or do you use it?
No, I don't use it. And the reason I don't use it is I've heard horror stories of people losing all their drafts after lots of work going in, and they might not have the information back on their phone.
Yeah, that
or
did happen to me, actually, a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, so it's something that I don't do it that way. I tend to just have it in my photo roll on my phone ready to post, so... And then I use my notes and write my post and my hashtags ready in my post before I post. So it's literally an upload is seconds once I'm ready.
I need to be a bit more organised like that, because for me it is, it's kind of like a chore, because I do it in one go. I take the photo, I edit it, put it up. And I think if I was a bit more organized like you, but I mean, this is for another conversation, really, but I'm just not as enthused in general for Instagram. But to go back to Johnny's post, next question, is there such a thing as overposting? I mean, do you think, is there anybody, people that you see where you think, oh, fucking hell, they're spamming my feed, I'm getting a bit bored of seeing their content? Or is it, you know, how do you feel about, you know, overposting?
You know what, I'm really not that fussed. Even people that tag me, it'd be dangerous saying this live on a podcast, but it's it's never really been anything that's bothered me. I've already said that I genuinely enjoy the community part of it anyway. Most people that tag me now, I've got to know them, if that makes sense. So we're a little bit of a community in itself, so I don't tend to tag other people. I don't feel that I want to put that on them, especially if there's quite a few comments on the tag. It can be a bit much sometimes, but personally I don't tend to mind when accounts tag me. It from a start point, I always see it as growth. It's always something that's helped me move on. Anyway, you get yourself noticed more and more by more and more accounts, and I'm not really bothered by spamming, so don't worry about that personally. If you're not bothered about it yourself, don't worry about what other people think. I think just to get on and post daily and do what you want to do. I don't think people are bothered about seeing a daily post. If you're putting 5 posts out a day, that's a bit different.
Like a bit like Jeremy's YouTube videos get a bit much, I think, sometimes.
Exactly.
Consistency is key when you're posting any content, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Instagram. Sometimes you hear people complaining, oh, that they're not getting promoted by YouTube, they're not growing, and if you look at their upload frequency, it's not consistent, and you know that's a big factor.
Yeah, it is a big thing. Just on that, just very quickly, I've had a message from somebody asking me how I grew so quickly, and I literally bamboozled him with everything I do, and he just I don't think he could really believe the amount of effort and work and research and everything that I put into it. Not just the community part, but it's things like it's knowing what time to post, all of this information is there in your insights if you're set up as either a business or a influencer on Instagram. You can grab some great data from your posts, and you can use that data to really try and push what you want to do. So if you're keen on growing, what I would say is really get into your insights and have a look at what type of people are following you, where they're following you from, what hashtags they use, all that kind of thing. It really does make a big difference.
That's really
what is
good
it
advice.
That drives you to grow your Instagram, Tony? Why you're obviously very invested in it, do a lot of research about how to grow your Instagram. What's your end goal? Why is growing your Instagram channel important to you?
You know, when I started, I didn't think it, you know what, the first 1,000 followers on Instagram is so difficult. It really is. Once you tend to break the 1,000 mark, your page will go. But the driving factor, I wouldn't say there is one. I think I've just seen it grow. I get a lot of satisfaction from that, and it continues to grow. And it's just, I think, a method, a process. When I get into something, I really have to get into it. I'm a bit of, I wouldn't say I've got an addictive personality, but it's just one of those things. I'm quite a competitive person as well, very competitive person actually, and I find myself wanting to better myself all the time. So I've tried to do that through my image quality, through my editing skills, and I research everything. So if I want to research, for example, what props to put into still life photography or what programs to use, I research literally everything, to the point of what fragrances do well on Instagram as well. And it just, it's a hobby that's turned into a bit of an obsession, to be honest. So
I get that, and it's personal satisfaction. It's a shame, and this is commented on a lot by creators of any kind, that it's a shame that Instagram doesn't incentivize its creators financially. YouTube does. You can earn a living off of YouTube. You can, you know, it doesn't take long if you put a bit of work in to get monetized on YouTube and start making some money, even if it's just a bit of pocket money. But Instagram, it's unless you get big enough to sort of start getting sponsorship and brand deals, you're not really making any money from it, are you?
No, you're not. You know what? I can tell you guys live on the podcast now. I've had I've just started managing a another Instagrammer's shop and their page. It's a brand new page, and he's approached me because he's liked my content, he's liked my photos on Instagram, and we agreed an amount where I manage his thing. So it has led to something else. It can be monetized. Ultimately, the way I say it to people, because you feel like you're sort of really bad person, and I've been made to feel that way a little bit as well when people say they want to grow for the wrong reasons, i.e. if you want to grow because you want to earn a living from it, or you want to grow because you want to monetize it, it feels a little bit dirty. It feels a little bit like you're made to feel that way. And I think that's an absolute load of nonsense, because if a lot of people have an opportunity to monetize what they do and love, like yourself, Chris, why wouldn't you do that? And but at the same time, it's not something that's going to pay my bills. I've got this new job. I've had a decent job for years. That is how I earn my money. So to earn £25 for an Instagram post, or to get a free fragrance through the post, do you know what? It makes me smile when people say, oh, you only do it because you get a free bottle. Because although I said I budget, it doesn't mean that I can't afford to go and buy that fragrance. So that does get to me a little bit. It winds me up a little bit that people think in that process, that people think that just people, I'm sure there are some people that just do it for that, but the free bottle, don't get me wrong, it's nice, but it doesn't mean an awful lot to me. That's not what I do it. I do it because I enjoy seeing my page grow, and I enjoy creating that content. That's the main thing for me, definitely.
Yeah, great. And interesting point about having a sort of workaround method of earning a little bit of money from Instagram as well. I think I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I feel like I kind of need to ask you before we kind of call it a day here. Obviously, you've in the past, Tony, you've been really vocal about people, probably probably because of all the work you've put in, you've been really vocal about people buying followers, buying subscribers, etc., and trying to highlight that. And like, how, I don't know, it's a very broad question, but like, obviously we've spoken a couple of weeks ago actually about potentially somebody that was accused of buying subscribers. So how do you feel? I guess I've sort of answered the question really, but does it upset you because of you've done it organically and you've put all this effort in and others essentially are cheating? Is that how you see it? Or
yeah, you know what, Steve, we've had a conversation and I've been accused of it myself, and that for me, I'm really self-conscious about watching the page grow, especially 2 years. The person in the inbox didn't accuse me of it, but I couldn't help but go there and think that's what he thinks or that's what she thinks, and that was, I feel a little bit hurt because of the amount of work that I put into it. And on Instagram, I don't tend to get any spikes. YouTube I did earlier on because I've got a brother with a very successful YouTube channel. So we have a live or do something together, all of a sudden I have a massive influx of people onto my page. But on Instagram, it's been very, very steady all the way through. It's been steady growth. And apart from one time when, I don't know if this happened to other people, I think it did happen to you, Steve, where there was, and I can account the exact amount, it was about 500 followers that seemed to appear in 1 hour onto my page. And they very, very, very quickly got sorted out by Instagram, and those followers taken down. So it was like a bot had just sort of infiltrated my Instagram and started giving me some really unusual followers. But it was all within an hour, and that got sorted out within a few days. Apart from that, in terms of buying followers, it does feel like, to me, I quite happily say, it does feel like cheating. It does feel like, especially when I work so hard at it, if someone is able to find a way in which to overtake that hard work, it's like, I think I've heard it referenced to this before, it's like cheating yourself at golf, isn't it? It's like you've gone out on the golf course yourself, on your own, and you try and play to your handicap, and you take a shot, and you've rolled the ball, and you don't count it. Oh, that didn't count. That's the way I see it, and I just think, well, why? So yeah, I feel self-conscious because I feel that people look at your account. I don't feel like you feel that you can get big without people looking at that. If that makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
But 2 years isn't it's quite a long time for, I think, for 18,000 followers. I know there'll be people sat there on 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 followers, but if you look at my page and look at your page and look at that and think, well, he's posting every day. He's putting 30 hashtags on every post. He's researching those hashtags are relevant. The content he's creating is relevant. It's not all niche fragrances all the time. It's a mixture of all different things. I research all of that and I put the hard work in. So yeah, it's a little bit hurtful when people might think that of you, but I can honestly say that that isn't something that I would ever do or even think about. It wouldn't even cross my mind. So it's quite alien to me when other people do it.
Oh, good for you, Tony, because 18K is a heck of a number. You know, obviously that reflects all the hard work you've put into it. So, yeah, good for you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, well done, mate. We're getting on for time, so we might have to sort of put a prick in it, as they say. I think that's the phrase. call it a day now. But while you're here, Tony, if we wrap this up, do you want to actually record like in inverted commas a normal episode with us? Do you want to jump on and we'll record another one while you're here?
That would be amazing. Yes, definitely up for that. Thank you.
There we go. So
great.
Everybody can, obviously this will drop as normal, but then Tony will be with us next week, essentially, for when you listen to it, because we're going to record another episode now. So you'll get double whammy of Tony. But is there, for this episode, Tony, is there anything you want to say, sort of just to shout out anybody or do anything before we kind of wrap up?
No, just to everybody following, everybody that interacts with me daily, I'll say hashtag Pasta Gang, they know who they are. I've got a group, lots of people that follow and we talk to and I interact with, so I'd just like to thank everybody that brings a smile to my face daily. Thank you. And thanks to you guys too as well for having me.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Now, thanks for coming on, Tony. I am looking forward to chatting to you more in the next episode.
Yes, me too. Have you got anything you want to say, Chris, before I kind of say goodbye?
Well, thanks for listening, geeks. Hope you enjoyed us doing this little interview with Tony. And please make sure you check out his Instagram, Fragdicted, and his YouTube, the same name, before you go to bed tonight. I don't know where that came from, but just go and follow him.
Yeah. Or do it when you are in bed. I mean, as I've said, he is a dish.
There's or on the toilet.
There's not many photos of him, actually, unfortunately, but he is a bit of a dish, so do go and check him out. So while you're in bed, it'll be a little treat to fall asleep to.
Damn right.
Thanks again, guys. Another shout out to our sponsor. I think we've actually, I can't remember if we've announced this, the latest winner, but if not, I'll do that in the next episode so it's a bit more relevant because this is a little bit of a one-off. But yeah,
go and check out. Week.
We did we? Oh, good. Bad memory. go and check out our sponsors, Kajal Perfumes. Go and check those guys out. Go and find them on Instagram, and there's a specific Scent Geeks post. Read the instruction there. Basically, you've got to tag some friends and use a hashtag, and then you'll get entered into a draw to win a free bottle. And we still want to hear from some of the winners. Do please get in touch if you are a winner and let us know what you thought to the fragrance. Other than that, thanks for listening, geeks, and the three of us will be in your ears again next week. Have a week, geeks. Bye.